Hello and welcome wherever you are in the world. Log On is an online magazine of the Spiritual School of the Golden Rosy Cross. We hope that our podcast will provide you with food for thought, inspiration for new questions and impulses in your research for new answers.
When we observe the dialectical nature, it appears to be a monstrous creator that feeds on and lives from the energies it gets from the death of its creatures. What is at stake in such a macabre scenario, and how can we get out of it? A simple examination shows us that the earthly creatures coming from the four realms, the mineral, the plant, the animal, and the human realm, get their necessary life energy from nature, mainly from the earth, the water, the air, and the light, the fire. We can see nature's great generosity in providing her creatures with all these life possibilities. However, and most strikingly, everything that comes from these energetic activities finally perishes in nature. Hence, an activity that confines itself to this earthly cyclic system will auto-destroy itself. Clearly, the I-central human is also subject to this cycle. So the question is, how can a human being rise beyond this vicious circle? The story of the vicious circle. All the earthly creatures consume and produce energy. By thus feeding on what nature offers them, the creatures of the different realms do not consume these energies simply to benefit from them. Once these vital forces are assimilated, they enter into an internal process of transformation and turn into a vital force which gives the creatures the capacity to apply all sorts of activities which will help them to manage life on Earth. However, all these activities are an opportunity to use the energy that they have received from nature to produce new energies which will inevitably return to this same nature. In this cycle, the energies that nature offers appear as the raw materials that are introduced in a process of transformation, where the earthly creatures are simply microfactories by which nature operates to manage her industrious process of transformation, production of energies. So we use our whole life to get energies from nature to transform them in the processes of our different activities and to consequently produce energies which will inevitably return to this same nature. Behind this seemingly insignificant yet very industrious cycle, the vast process of the exploitation of ethers is hidden. The humans of this dialectical world are the victims of this process. Through different mechanisms whose energies nature manages, the dialectical human being is encouraged and driven to carry out a multitude of activities whose limited results to contribute to unconsciously imprison him in this world. Every dialectical effort, every egocentric prayer that the human being delivers makes up the strings by which is entangled in the revolvings of nature. And the ultimate stalemate is that the return of energies produced becomes one more knot that complicates man's alienating relationship with nature. The advantages obtained by his egocentric dialectical activities are just another burden that overwhelms him and disperses any hope of real empowerment. The benefits of our efforts and prayers will give us but a short-lived, limited satisfaction, which mostly creates more problems than we thought we were going to solve. Nature rewards our efforts and our egoistic prayers. But these rewards belong to nature, and are perishable and will sooner or later be absorbed by nature. Dust to dust. In the end, when our strengths leave us, when we are exhausted by this macabre natural cycle of consuming, recycling, and producing energies, we will die. This, in effect, means that nature, in all her ungratefulness, will ultimately eat us. She will completely swallow the dust out of which she had initially made us and will assimilate it in her body like a minute particle of herself. There will only be a small memory of us that time will completely eliminate. Is life worth living then? If we look at it like this, life seems to be a cynical, capitalist process of nature, which at first sight does not lead us as its children, but uses us like cattle. Seen from this natural angle, life seems to be nothing but a gigantic and macabre process of robbing ethers where nature creates its children, using them like slaves, and then, when it no longer wants them, swallows them up. Nature creates us and maintains our life, investment of energy. It sweetens itself with the energy that we produce in our egocentric activities, and then absorbs us when we are no longer efficient enough to ensure the reproduction of its energies. Viewing through this lens, we could ask the question, is life really worth living? The true sense and meaning of life. If it is true that God is love, it would be nonsensical to think that God, in a corner of his universe, which is our nature, would have executed such a cruel process that makes a part of his creation, his creatures, who are his children, suffer. His children. The real problem is the erroneous notion that we, creatures who are toiling and burning in the sulfurous flames of this nature, should be God's children. If we are, then what justifies the fact that we are capable of so much malice against one another? If we are God's children, he who is love, then what could justify the fact that we are aware of suffering and that he leaves us crushed by so much suffering? The answer to all these questions lies in the fact that we have forgotten the true child of God within ourselves who we ought to take care of. We have substituted it with an ego that diverts the means of work which is at its disposal. The possibilities of life that are at our disposal in this world, though temporary and provisional, have no other aim and purpose than to arrange the conditions of our existence in such a way that we can better serve the child of God for which we have been called into this existence. Unfortunately, we are just occupied with ourselves and ask God, by forgetting his Son, to solve our little problems and to then welcome us in heaven when we have finished floundering in the swamp of our immaturity. So it seems that in truth, humanity has just one aim, namely to understand the true sense and meaning of life, to understand that the natural human being is the only carrier of the child of God within himself and must consent to become a conscious servant. Resolve the cycle of human, creature, and world suffering, and to have access to eternal peace, the human being must break away from his purely dialectical orientation. He must focus his mentality onto the sublime goal, namely to liberate the inner divine child from the suffering of this world, He must love this divine child, live out of this love, and radiate it into the world. He must sacrifice his life in the service of this child to deserve the eternal life. This can be summarized as follows. Why has God created us? To know him, love him, and serve him. This is the only way we can turn away from the macabre exploitation of our ethers and engage in the wonderful offering of ourselves in the service of God to build the eternal life within and around ourselves and all creation.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed it. If you wish to support us in reaching more people, like our posts, rate us with 5 stars on iTunes, leave a positive comment where you can, or share our content on your social media.